Good evening. It's a little late on Saturday, but wanted to go ahead and record a message for tomorrow so that you have this available on Sunday. But, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about Psalm 46. And before we look at it, I want you to think about something here. In nature, we have basically two main responses to trouble. That's not just us, but among all animals. And that is we either fight or we flight. You've heard the expression, right? Fight or flight. And I want you to think about those two responses to trouble as we walk through Psalm 46. Because God gives us an answer to both of those instinct responses, fight or flight. Okay? So, first we'll read through it, and then we're going to talk about it for a little bit, and then want us to kind of think about what is our response when trouble comes, when it starts to get hairy. Okay? So, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Let's pause for prayer. Father, just thankful that we have your word. And Lord, it has been good to be pondering on the significances of these psalms, Lord, as we see the different ways of finding our comfort in you, regardless of the circumstances around us. And so, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit guide us as we look at his words that he gave the psalmist from your heart and your mind to give to us. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit give us understanding and application so that when the chaos encircles us, we do not respond by instinct, but that we respond by faith. And in the name and to the glory and for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior, we pray. Amen. So, here we are. It starts with who God is. Did you notice that? The Lord. The Lord. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We need to know who God is, first and foremost. The psalmist isn't messing around. It is the most important. And how we look at the rest of life is through the filter of who God is, or at least what we believe God to be. And if he is the sure foundation upon which your life is built, the rock upon which our house stands, then we have picked a solid rock. His character is secure. It is ever faithful, because God is our refuge. And this word is one that It speaks of a shelter, a place to run for security. See, I told you to be thinking about the fight or flight, and here's flight already. Where will you run? Where will you run? Will you run to God? Because He is our refuge, a place to run for security, like a thick-walled city of refuge. Remember, we heard about that before in the Old Testament. So when the enemies came around, they fled to the city of refuge. When your life was at risk, you fled to the city of refuge. Or like that verdant oasis, a refuge, a shelter from the desert wilderness. That is who our God is. A place of covering and security. You know, Linus had his little security blanket in the Charlie Brown cartoons, if you're old enough to remember those. God is our security. Not just a little blanket that may make us feel safer, but He is a refuge. He is our strength, fight or flight. Here is the fight. He's the one that empowers us to do what is needed. Because by Him, I can resist the enemy when I cannot on my own. You know, one of my favorite little sayings is that it's not that God doesn't put on us more than we can handle, but that God helps us handle what we are given. Because the reality is, you've been walking through this life very long. You get more put on you than what you can handle. But God empowers us. He is our strength to do what is needed. Now, mind you, it may not be enough to do everything you want to do. It may not be enough to do all that others expect you to do, but it is all that is needed. He is the provider. And God is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. God does not need to come to our rescue. He's already here. He's already there. God is the one who sees and is always here. Remember as the angel of the Lord appeared to Hagar in the wilderness. She found Him to be the God who hears and sees, the God who is present. And then Abraham found God to be Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. And so, the Good Shepherd, always on the job, and sometimes even without our asking or without our acknowledgement, He is our help. But He tells us to ask, to seek and to find. He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble. So in what kind of circumstances should we be applying those to, rather than, you know, when our instincts kick in? Well, that's where the next section comes in. Notice, he says, therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, the mountains carried into the midst of the sea, the waters roar and are troubled, the mountains shake with its swelling. When the foundations are shaken, can you imagine? You know, we've got some pretty high hills around Lincoln Prairie Grove. If one of them was to be suddenly moved into another place, the foundations had moved. If you've been out west and seen the Rocky Mountains and things like that, those mountains are huge. To be cast into the sea would be terrifying. We live in a place where, yeah, we've experienced some earthquakes along the way, but they weren't anything too significant. But ancient Israel, and even still to this day, that part of the world is shook to the core by earthquakes ever so often. Our friends and neighbors in California and in the Ring of Fire around the Pacific, those earthquakes break the foundations. What foundations are we building upon? because sometimes those foundations will be shaken. They will be proven to be fragile. But God is an ever-present help in our trouble. He is the one we run to for refuge. He is the one who provides strength. Sometimes it's the natural calamities around us that scare us, and we look for help. Well, we look to God. Notice the next thing. We're given back the picture. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. So there's our picture of how God is providing. He's the refuge, he's the strength, and he's the ever-present help in our time of trouble. And so we see where the picture of a river in the city of God. Now, we often think of Jerusalem in that way, but if you know much about Jerusalem's geography, that's not how Jerusalem is described. It doesn't have a river. There's a little brook of Kidron in the valley, but it's dry most of the time. The Gihon Spring was routed, but it's just a little spring that flows into the city. There's no river. But God gives us a picture of a river in his presence. The real city of God, the celestial city. It started in Eden, which had four river heads that flowed and watered the whole earth. We're told that at the end, the new Jerusalem will have a spring that produces a river, and it flows to the east and to the west, so powerful it makes the Dead Sea alive again. That's what Ezekiel tells us, and Zechariah and Revelation tells us these things. There is refreshing to be found in God. How do you want to know? Well, Jesus tells us. Because Jesus told us in John 7, verses 38 and 39, that out of our hearts will flow rivers of living water. And John says aside, he was talking about the Holy Spirit that wasn't yet given, but was given after he ascended into heaven. Thanks, John, for clarifying that for us. I would have been confused. That's not sarcasm either. I would have been confused. But I have the Holy Spirit, having been born again. And I can recognize how he is one who gives that life-giving strength and encouragement. He is the Holy Spirit who does those things, like rivers of living water. Not like the sea, which is chaotic and trying to drown things. This is the river, the streams that provide life. Like Psalm 1, like the tree that's planted by the rivers of water, which bears fruit in its season. Jeremiah 17 gives us that picture as well. That's what the picture is here, that God is giving us. And in the days of the psalmist, that was powerful. Not only because they lived in a place that was surrounded by desert wilderness, but because when a city was besieged by enemies, the city that had river within it didn't worry about their water supply. They were secure. They could last. They could outlast them all. A city with springs can withstand that siege much longer than one that could be cut off from its water supply. And so we're told there that God is the one who is that river for us spiritually, coming from his presence in this tabernacle where God has chosen to take up residence. They are not moved. There's no need for flight. He shall help her just at the break of dawn. Now, that picture, though, gives me a reminder that sometimes it's going to look much worse than it is. And that's where the very present help in trouble. What is the trouble this time? The psalmist gives that the nations are raging, the kingdoms are moved. It is people now. The pictures of warfare, the chariots, the bow, the spear. People sometimes make us want to fight or flight. Whether it is out of fear or anger, it is those circumstances that put us into our instinct. How will we respond? Will we run to God? Will we find our strength in God? Because God shall help her just at the break of dawn. And this brings up an important point that I think we need to remember. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And that's a different word from what we saw in verse 1. That one speaks of the fortress, the impregnable rock upon which they would station themselves up there. And they were untouchable. They were caught. They were safe, out of reach, up on top of the mountain. That's who the God of Jacob is. But he will allow circumstances to shake us, whether it is natural calamity or whether it is the enemies in flesh and blood or in spiritual even forces. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. He will allow them to have a time of darkness to test our faith. And you know that, and we've experienced it before, right? We may be experiencing it right now. And we're wondering, has God forgot us? Will God come to the rescue? And the answer is yes. It may not be in the way that we think it will be, but he is here. And so he says, come behold the works of the Lord. See how God has worked in the past to get insight into how God is working now. Look to the future of how God says he will work in the end to know that he is at work now going towards that end. Come behold the works of the Lord. He's the one who's in control of the desolations of the earth. He will make the wars cease. That picture of breaking the bow and cutting the spear in two. They shall one day no longer beat their plowshares into swords and their spears from their pruning hooks. Instead, it'll be reversed and the weapons of war will become tools of providing. He is the one who, at his word, those things are destroyed. He burns the chariot in the fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. God challenges us to be still. And that's an interesting word because it means to slacken the pace. It means to admit that you're weak. Yeah, admit that you're weak, and then you can know that the Lord is our help. If you're going to do it on your own, God says, okay, do it on your own. But remember the little saying we started with? God will put more on you than what you can handle. So if you do it on your own, you will fail. But if we run to him, we will find a present help. He may allow our faith to be tested. He may not provide as fast as you think he does. But it says that he will come in the break of dawn, just in time. he will be exalted so that he gets the praise. There won't be any mistake that, oh, maybe we did do it on our own. Remember how God made a point throughout the Old Testament to make sure Israel understood it wasn't them that did it? Like in the days of Gideon, when 300 guys against this vast army and all they had was clay pots, torches, and trumpets. Or in the days of Joshua, when they circled the walls of Jericho and God brought the walls down. When, I think it was Hezekiah, maybe Jehoshaphat, they marched out against the enemy and they had the choir lead the way because God was going to provide the victory. They were insufficient for the task. They knew they couldn't handle it. God was going to have to be the one to do it. That God will be exalted. When I admit that I am weak, that is when God shows his strength. That the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You know, when I was a kid, I was not very fast. And I definitely wasn't very big. Some things haven't changed. I wasn't going to be able to fight my way out of it. I wasn't going to be able to flight my way out of too many of those problems. But now that I'm adult, that I might know my God. Admit when I'm weak. And I can't do it. And say, God, we look to you. You are our refuge. Where I run. You are my strength. You give me strength to do what needs to be done. To protect others. To carry on. Because you are already here. Present help in the time of trouble. What are you running to? What are you fighting for? Be still and know. Look to him so that he is exalted. Thank you, God, for these promises. We feel alone, we feel scared, and worried for the future, Lord. But you remind us once again in your word, you are the refuge and the strength. Thank you for being here. We thank you for your son who suffered for so that when our suffering comes, we know it is valuable to you. And it is a part of making us like him. We thank you for the empty tomb. We know death is not something we need to fear either. You've already conquered death. We thank you that he ascended into heaven, gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, there we may be also. And we thank you for the promise of his soon return, that he will come again and take us, that we might be together with him forever. And that hope and that help supersedes all of the cataclysms of our life. And in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thanks for joining me. Praying for you. Pray for us.